in Pune, in Vanavari, next month, the 23rd and 24th. All right? The cost, the price of the entry is just 350 rupees. And it includes two meals, teas, coffees, and the materials. It is amazing value for money. In fact, it's subsidized. All right? I want to urge you, if you want to grow as a leader, be there. It's Friday and Saturday. It may mean taking a day off, but it's amazing. You're going to have world leaders teaching via video, but the impact is phenomenal. There's an early bird offer. If you register before the 31st of October, I think today is the last Sunday before the 31st of October. There's one more Sunday. All right. But can you meet Austin after the meeting and say, Austin, please take my money. Take my name. Give it to him. Register. All right. It's an amazing thing. You have CEOs of companies, best-selling authors, people who've been named in Time magazine's 100 most influential people. These are the people you're going to be learning from. Don't miss that opportunity. Turn to the person next to you and say, register. Amen. Okay, as a church, we meet in gym groups through the week. Okay, gym does not mean exercise. It's God, you, and me. Okay, that's what it is. God, you, and me. And we have a gym at NIBM, Vimannagar, Camp, Bhavdan, different places around the city. Okay, so we want to get connected to people during the week where we study the word, where we pray, and we get to know one another in a smaller setting. Okay, come and speak to one of us to find out where the nearest gym group near you is. Okay, that's fine. That's it. Let's come to God's Word this morning. Okay. How many have traveled in a plane? Yeah, most of us have traveled in a plane. Think about it. Can you imagine? And how many of you have ever seen a light bulb? A light bulb, plane. What does that happen? Okay, I want to tell you a tragic, tragic story. 100 people died over a light bulb while traveling in a plane. This is a true story. It happened in 1972. There was a plane that took off from New York and was flying to Miami. All right? Normal flight, two-hour flight, everything seemed to be okay. Just before they were going to land, they turned on the landing gear. They put down the landing gear. Now, how do you know that the landing gear has come out? It's under the plane. You can't see it, right? There's a little bulb that goes on when the landing gear has successfully successfully come out. All right? Now, you know what happened? That bulb didn't light up. That bulb didn't light up. So the pilot was wondering, has the landing gear come out or not? Because if it's not come out, you're going to crash. And so the pilot and the co-pilot said, we can't see. But they said, you know what, let's go and check this bulb out. So they put the plane on autopilot and they went to check this bulb. And they were struggling to get it out, but they just couldn't get it out. Okay? And while they were struggling to get it out, by mistake, this is what they figured out, is they hit the autopilot button off. And so the plane went off autopilot. Okay, and here are these guys figuring out a bulb that costs 100 rupees. And at the same time, it's dark outside, the plane is descending at 2,000 feet a minute. And the long and short of it, it crashed into the Everglades of Florida. Okay? Thankfully, it landed in a swamp, so everybody didn't die. 75 passengers were rescued, but 100 people died. Over what? 100 rupee bulb. Isn't that tragic? Yeah? It's a true story. It's not made up. You can check it up. Now, what is that to do with us? Well, this is what's got to do with us. You see, we can be living. We have lives to live. God has called us. We've been seeing this morning how He has saved us by His precious blood. That's what Jesus has done. All our sins are forgiven. Wonderful. I'm going to heaven. All right? I'm sure if you've trusted in Jesus, you're going to heaven too. Our sins are forgiven. Past, present, future. Jesus has got a glorious destiny for us. But in the midst of what he's called us to do, okay, it's not just I'm going to heaven, but now on earth, he's got a plan for us and we've got to fulfill that plan. But you know what? We can miss out on certain basic things, like that light bulb. If only they had checked that light bulb before takeoff to see if it's working or not and replaced it, 100 lives would be saved. What are the light bulbs in our lives that can keep us from crashing? Think about that. What are the light bulbs in our lives that we need to take care of that will keep us from crashing? And this morning, there are several, but this morning, I'm going to quickly, in the short time we have, just outline two. All right? The first one is personal worship, connecting to God through prayer and through the Word. All right? So this is the first one. So what does that mean? This means this. You see, there have been many great Christian leaders who've been great preachers, used greatly by God, evangelistically, signs and wonders. But at some time, there was some failure in their lives, and they fell. And when people examined their lives, they found out that one of the causes of this was that these great leaders missed their time with the Lord on a daily basis. All right? So, spending time in the morning, reading the Word and praying may not seem like a spectacular thing, but it is a very important, crucial thing that really determines our spiritual life. So, we're going to very quickly look at that and see why we need to do this. Why do I need to spend time with the Lord every morning? What is this light bulb that I need to take care of? Okay. The first thing is this. You see, Jesus is our model. And Jesus is the one who was so close to the Father. He says, I and the Father are one. If there's anybody who didn't need to pray, it was Jesus. But yet we see in Scripture that Jesus was a man of prayer. Okay? We're going to look at a Scripture right now. Okay, let's turn to Mark 1:35. We're going to read that this morning. Mark 1, verse 35. Can we put it up? Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for God to come and open his word to our hearts. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning, Lord. I ask that you would anoint my words this morning, open our hearts and our minds to your truth. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. Would you teach us, Lord? Would you come and plant your word in our hearts that we would be quickened to obey it, we would understand it, and we would be passionate to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so here we see the lifestyle of Jesus. Very early in the morning, it was still dark. Jesus got up, went to a solitary place where he prayed. Look at another one. Luke 22, verse 39. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. What's the key word there? As usual. Okay? So praying was a part of Jesus' daily routine, part of Jesus' daily habit. I don't have time to go through other verses that speak about where Jesus prayed, but I'll just throw a few of them. You can note them down. Luke 3:21, Matthew 14:23, Mark 6:46. Etc., etc. Okay, we don't have to look at them, but really, Jesus was a man of prayer. And that light bulb that we need to take care of in our lives is that we need to be people of prayer. Okay, and by prayer, I mean we are reading the Word and we are praying daily. Turn to somebody and say, daily. Daily. It's not, 2 weeks ago I did it, but it's daily. Okay? And what prayer does is it brings us into communion, into fellowship with Jesus. Okay? So there are two parts to this prayer time or the quiet time. And the first part is this. The first part is, you know, think about it when you go for coffee with a friend. All right? Let's say, you know, you've met somebody, you've gone to Coffee Jar or Coffee Day, and you're sitting down there, you've met after some time, you know, what are you going to do? Talk to one another, right? You talk to one another. So you say something, and that person responds. Wouldn't it be very odd if the other person just sat down there sipping the coffee and didn't say a word? You know, that conversation would end very fast. And so it's the same thing when we come to spend time with Jesus. It's a two-way communication. It's a conversation. All right? Now you may say, how does this work? I don't hear any voice. Okay. This is how it works. Jesus speaking to us, he speaks to us through the Bible. This is his word. Okay? So if you want to hear his voice, you open the Bible and you read verses. And as you read those verses in faith, God will speak to your hearts to what God wants to say to you. Okay? So that's the thing. Now, when reading the Bible, just one caution. Okay? Don't do this. Say, God, I want you to speak to me. Okay, this is a... Yeah! Pick out a verse like that. All right? Now, it's okay. You may have done it. I've done it. Okay? But that's not the regular way you need to read the Bible. Imagine if somebody sent you a letter. Anybody? Today we don't receive letters, it's only emails. But emails. But okay, to imagine somebody sent you a long email. How would you read it? Huh? Do you go, okay, zip, let me read the fifth line. Ta-da-da. Okay, let me read the ninth line. No, we read it from the top to the bottom, isn't that? And that's the same thing with the Bible. Because if you read it like this, randomly, okay, you'll get yourself into a mess. You know, there's a guy who opened it out once and he said, God, say something to me. Judas went and hanged himself. All right? Okay, Lord, close it. Lord, say something to me again. Go thou and do likewise. You don't want that to happen. All right? So the first thing is we need to read the word and we need to read it systematically. Okay, so very quickly, this is the light bulb, very important. Now, this is a basic thing, we've covered it before, we've spoken it again, but if I were to ask you, how many have read the word last week and prayed? I don't ask you, don't put your hands up, you know. So this is just a reminder, okay, that in the busyness of life, if you're not reading the word and praying on a regular basis, you are on dangerous ground, you could crash. Here's another fighter plane story, a plane story. There was a fighter plane that was being tested, all right? It was going so fast. Have you ever found yourself so busy that you say, I just don't have time to pray or to read the word? Be honest, yeah? We've done that. There's so much to do, Lord, I just cannot pray or find time to pray. Well, you know what happened to this fighter plane? Okay. This is a story, I don't know how far it's true, but it was going so fast that they were testing a missile. So it fired the bullets, and it went so fast that it went in front of the bullets and got shot. So don't go at such a speed in your life that you're going so fast that you don't have time for God, because you can get shot. All right? Martin Luther used to say this. He says, I've got so much work to do, so I have to get up even earlier to pray more because I've got so much to do. That should be our mindset. Not, I've got so much work to do, so I'm going to skip my prayer and my Bible reading today. Okay? So this is what I want to do. Now, very quick tips on what do we mean by praying daily? Now, this is it. Number one is have a time. Okay? Have a time where you're saying, okay, 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, but just have an appointment with God. You see, Jesus prayed as was his custom. Habit. Okay? Maintain a habit. Habits are difficult to break. Do you know that? Yeah, habits are difficult to break. And so if you make that habit, even good habits are difficult to break. For me, I just cannot sleep without brushing my teeth. It's a good habit, isn't it? Nobody's... Yes. It's a good habit. Yes. Excellent. So 21 days to, okay, 21 days, 40 days, whatever, to make a habit. But if you just do a thing consistently, listen. So one thing is set a time each day. You know, say, okay, 6 o'clock, this is my time. I'm going to get up and pray. Okay, that's one. Set a place. Set a place. You notice Jesus didn't just decide to pray in the midst of his disciples. He went off to a solitary place. Okay, that place is a special place where you are meeting with the living God. Okay, I have a place in our living room, a particular place I like to sit and meet with God there. You find your place. Okay, ideally, it should be a place free of distraction. All right, so set a time, set a place. Number three, okay, make sure you have the Bible, either like this or on the phone, okay, and have a journal. I have a notebook that I use. I go through two of these every year, okay? Have a notebook where you're putting the date and you're reading scripture, God speaking to you, and you're writing down something. So write down a verse and say, what is God saying to me, okay? So have a place, have a time, have a notebook. Number four is have a plan. Okay? The plan is you're saying, okay, I'm going to read through the book of John. Or I'm going to read through the Old Testament, or the New, but have some plan. Okay, the YouVersion app has got many Bible reading plans. Get a hold of that. So just these are just a few basic things. Now, these are very simple. You should, if you're a Christian, 1 year or more, you should be doing all these things. Okay, but if not, I want to encourage you. Remember that light bulb. Our lives need to be rooted in God and His Word. Okay? So let's make sure. Can we make sure we are doing this? Yeah? No matter how busy we are, I want to recommend the YouVersion here, because what it does is, when you open it, it tells you how many days you've read the Word. Okay? There's a thing there that says, okay, so many days. Okay? When you miss it, you know, I remember I had done it for several days, 100 and something days, and then one day I missed it, and it starts again from zero. Okay? So, but the good thing is it keeps track of how many days you have been in the Word. So I want to urge you. I want to encourage you. Don't crash your faith. Okay? Get hold of a Bible. Get hold of a notebook. Spend time, even if it is 15 minutes every day. Say, I want to hear God through the Bible. And then you speak to God through prayer. You pray back what you've read. You pray for other people. You know, I was so thrilled. Last month, we had 11 people looking for jobs. Wow. This month, almost all of them have got jobs. Isn't that amazing? It's the power of praying together. So shall we do that? So you're praying for yourself. You're praying for others, the church, the nation. This is what we are called to do. All right. The second thing I want to look at is this. You see, one is personal worship, the Word. The second thing is public worship. By public worship, I mean us gathering together on a Sunday morning like this. I want to ask you, do you think it is important? It is. Okay, if you look at Acts chapter 2, when the first church was formed in Acts chapter 2, this is what the disciples did. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 onwards. Okay, we'll look at verse 46 actually. Acts chapter 2 verse 46. This is the new church. They devoted, yeah? Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It's important to meet with God alone. That's important. But it's also important to meet with God together with the people of God. So see that they continued to meet together in the temple court. It was a public place. They gathered together. They didn't meet just on Sundays. They met every day. Now, I want to ask you, is coming here on a Sunday a custom and a habit for you? Or is it, well, this Sunday I've got nothing to do, so I'll come to the church meeting. Or is this Sunday, you know, that kind of thing. Now, our model is, of course, Jesus. So let's look at what Jesus did. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke 4, verse 16. Luke 4. This is talking about Jesus. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath he went into the synagogue. Let's read it together. As was his custom. Jesus' parents brought him up well. They took him to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Okay, I want to encourage you that don't miss meeting together every Sunday. It's not a law, but it's something that we've got to cultivate, saying, this is what I want to do. Look at Paul, Acts 17, verse 2. Very quickly, Acts chapter 17, verse 2. Let's read the first words again. As his custom was, Paul went in the synagogue on 3 Sabbath days, and he reasoned with them with the scriptures. So you see, it was a custom of Paul, it was a custom of Jesus. Every Sabbath day, they went to the synagogue. Friends, what is our custom? Okay, it's saying, listen, Sunday is the Lord's day. Let's meet together collectively to worship. Okay? Now, when we meet together, we need to prepare our hearts to be together. In Psalm 122, verse 1, this was the heart of the worshiper. Psalm 122, verse 1. See what the psalmist says. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So this was the attitude. He says, listen, I'm looking forward to going to the house of the Lord. It's not that, oh, Sunday morning again. No. Hey, shall we go together? Yes, let's go. I rejoiced with those who said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Okay? That's what our attitude should be. So we've seen that in Jesus. We've seen that in Paul. Why should we gather together here? I'll tell you why. Because when we come together, there is great anointing, there is great power for healing, for answered prayer, for deliverance, for meeting with God. That's why. There's more power when we come together than when we are all alone. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's talking about when they meet together. He says, when you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present. When we come together, God's power is available. So don't miss out on that. Okay? Come. Some people think, I can sit at home and watch a message on TV. Okay? That's very different from gathering together with the saints and the power of Jesus being present. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. The writer to the Hebrews says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Okay? Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Okay, so what is he saying? He's saying some have made it a habit not to come on a Sunday morning. It's been skipping it. So they had that problem even there. Okay? But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. All right? So these are a few things I'm just throwing you to say, like, personal worship is important, public worship is important. And I'm going to end by just touching on one more thing. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. What do we do when we gather together for public worship? So, one of the things, of course, we looked earlier is encouraging one another. Okay, we encourage one another, we meet with one another. But 1 Corinthians 14, 26 says this. What then shall we say, brothers, when you come together? Everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All these must be done for the strengthening of the church. Okay, Paul is writing out how a church meeting should be run. And what he's saying is, when we come together, is he saying only the pastors have to share something? Did he say that? Only the leaders share something. What word does he use there? Everyone. Everyone say, I'm everyone. Okay, he's talking to all of us. Okay, you have a part to play in a Sunday morning. What do we have? You have a song, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, interpret. We've all got to bring something to bless the body. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have a role to play. Okay? Now, you know what? Some people think of the church meeting like this. Have you ever been to a theater, watched a drama, a play? Yeah? You may have seen a play. Now, there are three principal groups of people. Number one is the audience, right? The audience. What's the second one? The actors. You got all the actors on this side. And then there's another group that are there in the wings. Do you know who they are? The prompters. The prompters. The prompters. Who prompt? If they forget the lines. Prompters. Okay? So you've got the audience, you've got the actors, and you've got the prompters. Now, when people come on a Sunday morning, this is what they think. They think, here are the actors, here is the audience, and God is the prompter. Who's the prompter there? This is what we think. But really, that's the wrong picture. You know what's the picture? Really, this is what it is. The actors are there. You are the actors. Have you ever wanted to be an actor? Well, you are. Okay, you are the actors. Who are the prompters? These people in front are the prompters. They're saying, let's sing this song, let's do this. They are prompting us to worship God. Who's the audience? God is the audience. Doesn't that just change things upside down? God is the audience. Hallelujah. This is not... Okay? This concept was by a guy called Soren Kierkegaard. I can't pronounce his name, but he gets a credit for that. All right? God is the audience. He is, remember last week's sermon, he is looking down from heaven. What is he looking for? Worshippers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. These are the prompters. We're saying, let's stand, let's worship, open your heart, let's sing, let's clap. We, on this side, all of us, we are the actors. And God is looking down. So that should change our mindset about coming to worship. All right? So we'll end there this morning to say that two things, there are many more things, but I'm giving you two things that we need to look at. That light bulb that needs to be cared for, which could crash a plane. Simple. Am I in the Word every day? Every day. Am I praying? Am I reading? Am I feeding? Okay? If you don't have a journal, I want to tell you, buy a journal this week. Just a notebook. Okay? And you start writing in it and you see the difference it'll make in your life. Okay, for starters, just write down the date. Write down a verse that you've read and you'll see God speaking to you. Okay? Next, make sure you're coming to a church meeting every Sunday. I was glad when they said to me. So you're not coming in 5 minutes late or 10 minutes late. You're coming there earlier. Have you ever been to a cricket match, football match, drama? You've got to go much, much earlier to get in there. And it's the same thing here. We are coming to perform for the King of Kings. Let's be there before time. Shall we stand together this morning? We're going to pray this morning because my heart's desire is that all of us feed on the Word daily and pray, and we are pleasing God with our worship. That's what it is, all right? And let's pray for that. Lord, I thank you for each one here this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would enable us by your Spirit to feed on your Word every day, to spend time in prayer every day, Lord. Would you enable us to do that, Lord? Lord, may we be a people who are hungry
to worship you.
Maybe be like that psalmist. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Maybe be like that, Lord. Put that desire in our heart. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, we would be able to play our part, share a word, share a tongue, instruction, revelation, a hymn. May we be pleasing to you, Lord. Thank you. Would you enable us to do that? Thank you for each one here. Lord, may your blessing, your protection, your favor be upon us. Thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.